So this is the third part in our summer series about the Psalms. There are many different kinds of Psalms in the Bible, these sung prayers. There are laments, songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving. There are even historical psalms and psalms written just for festivals. Last week, we looked at Psalm 122 as the song of home and the joy and the reverence the psalmist expresses for Jerusalem and how we can pray for our own homes and communities in which we live. The week before that, we explored Psalm 40, a song of deliverance, humbly seeking help and trusting in the Lord to provide redemption in time of despair. And this week we look at Psalm 20. It's a song of intercession and also a song of victory. It's a prayer of the people seeking the Lord's help for David. And it's also a prayer of steadfast faith by David, knowing that putting God before the things of the earth is the way to victory. It's a corporate prayer and an individual prayer. It's a prayer that includes a please and a thank you. Do you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. In 2012, author Anne Lamott had a book published called Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers. It offers a deep, honest, hopeful, and occasionally piercing look at how we pray and why we pray and when we pray. We pray for help, we pray in gratitude, and we pray in amazement. But above all, prayer connects us with each other and to God. She wrote, "Prayer means that in some unique way, we believe that we're invited into a relationship with someone who hears us when we speak in silence." In Psalm 20, the people of Israel are definitely not speaking in silence. In verses 1 through 5, we don't know exactly what's going on in King David's kingdom, but we sense that there's trouble. There are mentions of plans and victories and banners and chariots. The people around David are asking God for God's help, that the name of God alone will offer protection for David, and that God will remember David's offerings, that he has been faithful. This is intercessory prayer, praying for others. It's when an individual or a group goes to God in prayer on your behalf. It can happen with or without your knowledge. There may be someone praying for you every day and you don't know it. Or it could be in a setting like our healing service. People will come forward in faith as they feel led, seeking prayers for themselves or for a loved one. We anoint them with oil and we pray for their specific prayer request, whether it's for a relationship or for a loved one's illness or even their own illness or for the healing of the world. Intercessory prayer happens when we lift up joys and concerns in worship or in meeting settings, and we pray together as one for those who are hospitalized, who are grieving, who have addictions, or are unemployed, or who have brokenness of any kind, as well as those who have had prayers answered for a healthy birth or a new job or a good diagnosis. Intercessory prayer happens in the very confidential setting of a Stephen minister's relationship with their care receiver. In this one-to-one caregiving relationship, the Stephen minister and his or her care receiver will pray together about the struggles that the care receiver is facing. The Stephen minister prays for their care receiver even when they're not together. Even if no one else knows the name of the care receiver, the Stephen ministry team knows there are struggles to be lifted to God and that someone is feeling broken. And it will take God, the cure giver, to help the Stephen minister and the care receiver walk together on the path back to wholeness. Prayers of intercession can also happen even when someone feels too broken to pray. You know those times when you have nothing left, but you show up anyway? There are people with the spiritual gift of prayer who just know when someone needs a prayer, kind of the way your grandmother knows you need a cup of coffee and some Fig Newtons. They just know. Even if they don't know you, they know that something's not right. And they are fearless when it comes to prayer. 2 years ago, I was at the Maria Stein Retreat Center for a licensed local pastor school. There were about 20 or 30 local pastors together for a week trying to absorb at least a semester's worth of information and curriculum so we could become church leaders. I entered into this week during a difficult time in my personal life, and then on top of everything, I was in an environment where I didn't know what to expect. I was sitting in the chapel waiting for our nightly service to start, and a fellow pastor that I didn't know all that well came and sat next to me and introduced himself. Then he said, "I'm not sure what's going on in your life, but I can tell there's something heavy on your heart. I feel like I need to pray with you. Is that okay?" No one ever asked me that before. Certainly not a total stranger. But he interceded with God on my behalf when I had no words. Now, Anne Lamott also wrote in Help Thanks, "Wow, if one person's praying for you, buckle up. Things happen." Whether it's the voice of one or the voice of many, when we take the time to lift up someone, it can lift up our own faith. We wind up pushing and pulling each other along, bolstering each other, holding each other accountable as the people of God. In the second half of the psalm, it shifts for a moment to the first person. The king expresses his faith and gratitude that the Lord will help him. All of these other people have prayed on his behalf. It offers reassurance and confidence in victory. And the intercessors and their king offer a thank you to God in advance of the victory. That is faith. They remember that just as David has been faithful to God, God will be faithful to him. But there are two key verses in the psalm that shouldn't be overlooked. They are fine print on this intercessory prayer for victory. "May we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of God set up our banners." And "some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God." Put God first, not your own will, and not your own plans, and trust in the plan of God. Obey God's laws. Do what's expected of you as a child of God. Love one another. Take care of each other. Honor and keep the Sabbath. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Who knew faith had a fine print? A lot of people struggle with prayer. And not just making time for it, or knowing how to pray and knowing what to say. It's not everyone's spiritual gift. But we can all practice it. But the biggest struggles, and it's something that I've dealt with throughout my life as well, is trusting that there is a victory. Trusting that there is an answer, and it may not be the answer that you expected, and the victory may not look like what you envisioned, but it is a victory. By nature, humans like to have control of things. We're expected to take care of business, make things happen, create our own success, and now there's something that is totally out of our control, and we feel powerless. Our inclination is to fix it, but sometimes we wind up making it worse. We try to force a solution. We take pride in chariots and horses, when what we really need to do is trust in the Lord. And that brings up another difficulty. How long do we wait? How long did David have to wait for that victory? How long do I have to put up with doctor's appointments and blood work and chemotherapy? How long until that grief subsides? How long until I'm not lonely anymore? How long? Where is that victory? Just as we feel pressured to fix our own problems, we can also feel unreasonable pressure to stay strong. It wears us out. We even begin to doubt God's goodness and love, and we may want to give up. Here's the good news. We don't have to have it completely together, and we don't have to be perfect to pray. Even if your prayer consists of, God, I'm not really happy with you right now, and I'm definitely not happy with my circumstances. That's an honest, vulnerable prayer. And you are still loved. Nothing's going to change that. Remember what Isaiah said in chapter 40, those who wait upon the Lord will rise with strength on the wings like eagles. In the waiting is rest. In the waiting is the gathering of strength. We may want a hard and fast answer, an immediate and decisive victory, but sometimes our victory in the short term is renewal. It's gathering strength. It's a second wind and a third and a fourth, as many as it takes. So when you've misplaced your ability or will to pray, the Holy Spirit lifts up your prayers even in the silence. When you're at a loss for words, a sigh is sufficient. Remember, we don't have to have it all together to go to the Lord in prayer. We don't have to have the perfect words. When you need someone to pray with and for you, someone is. We can feel very far from victory, but the more we try to manage the outcomes, the more we tend to get in our own way sometimes. We can trust in our horses and chariots, or we can trust that the Lord will deliver victory. As a community, we can intercede for one another in prayer. As an individual, we can spill out our most honest prayer and give the Lord the opportunity to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to new victories of all sizes and colors. And I'm sure that in this space today, there are people that are burdened with struggles. And they don't know how to pray. And again, intercessory prayer, hands-on prayer, it's not everyone's spiritual gift. But we can all pray together with the knowledge that there's somebody who needs us and needs our prayers and that God is there for us. Let's take this moment to pray together for those in need. Loving God, among us today are people we know are in need of the strength of prayer. And among us today are people who are keeping their battles to themselves. Right here, right now, Lord, we pray for victory for all of them. Send them the help and the strength they need. Remember their offerings. Remember your children and keep them close. We trust in you. Amen.